Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back. It's been too long. To I Am Resistance and the End Times. Good morning. Let's try this again, shall we? This broadcast is dedicated to creating a culture of resistance to industrial civilization. Resistance to the evisceration of the living world, the land base, and the exploitation of all creatures by the corporatocracy and oligarchy that enslaves and deforms our minds. Resistance to this vicious culture of occupation that supports violence and oppression. We seek truth in a culture of lies, patriarchy, cruelty, and kitsch. This is a call to action, to those who will listen, a cry to unite, resist to stop this toxic culture before it is too late. We must defend and restore the land base before it is uninhabitable. We must work to end the exploitation of all life and learn to live as awake moral beings in tune with nature. Let's rewild, people. It is our hope for the future of the living world. It's the only hope of the future living world. This toxic life system must be stopped, and rebellion is the only way. And radical feminism is the guide to all who want to dismantle, not reform, the domination cultures. Industrial civilization can and must be dismantled and never allowed to be again. We must build a culture of resistance to fight the madness of industrial civilization. We must fight. There is a strategy. Check out Decisive Ecological Warfare, one among many. We must recognize reality. Good morning, my fellow livestock and resistors alike. I'm Jeff, and this is I Am Resistance and the End Times. Today is May 2nd, 2015. So sorry for my lack of productivity, but as I like to say, fuck productivity. Forgive my language. Been sick, you know, this antibiotics aren't working. We all know drug resistance, you know, cold, working, and I work too much. It's hard. It's hard to think about what I want to talk about, too, you know. And since nobody gives a crap, it's, you know, sometimes you just lose your will, but I'm here. Check out Facebook page, I Am Resistance. Give me a like. Check out the posts. Some great articles on there. I'm talking about one today. Email me, inquiringsage@gmail.com. There's also Google Plus. I have a blog I never use, but I will someday. You know, it's hard. JeffTheInquiringSage@blogspot.com. Give me a call, 646-915-9912. I might even answer your call. Nobody calls in because nobody's listening, and that's okay. I do this because I have to. And those 20 of you that may listen to this, hey, pull it out. Let's get busy. There's a live chat. You can ask questions or, you know, call me names. You know how I like to do that. Call me names. I'm used to that. I'm, you know, polyamorous, so everybody likes to call me freak. That's okay. I'm just kidding. I'm just different. So today, you know, today I want to talk about the question, what is a good spiritual response to human extinction? Or what is the appropriate response to human extinction, the appropriate spiritual response to human extinction? So I read a blog that answered this question well, and I'll read that to you. It's very short and very profound and precise and exactly what I think. I couldn't share. I could have wrote it myself. I'd have wrote it better. I'm just kidding. No, he wrote it very well. So, you know, we're seeing right now, we're seeing all of this, you know, stuff going on. We're seeing the collapse of the disintegration of industrial civilization every day more so. We're seeing things getting geared up. It's going to be a bloodbath. We're seeing people begin to defy the death squads and their masters. What are we to do? What does our spirit tell us here? So we've been seeing these riots. They call them riots. I call it an insurgency. We're seeing an insurgency against the state. We're seeing an insurgency against the death squads that we call police. We're seeing an insurgency against this toxic culture. And what are they doing? They're acting. They're acting. And they're acting some more. We write them off. The media just, oh, they're rioters. The president calls them criminals. They are citizens, slaves, livestock, and they're attacking the fences. Bravo. We're seeing an insurgency, and it's a beautiful thing. Nobody's supposed to say that. No, these, what, and you know, I teach, so people want to talk to me, and they're like, oh, you're a philosopher. And they're like, so, what do you think of these, you know, awful rioters, you know? What do you think of, you know, what good does burning down a CVS do to protest the murder? Oh, yeah, let's not even talk about the fact that a young man, I don't give a crap what he did. I don't care what he did. Well, I kind of do. But, I mean, if he was a rapist, maybe I'd just, you know, but the police, they're not there to protect us. Don't think for a second that's what policing is. I've studied it. And it was one a long time ago, not a real one, just a reserve, but I learned enough. And, you know, they murdered this. They're murdering left and right because police are death squads. That's the bottom line. Police are death squads. Protect and serve the rich. Protect and serve industrial civilization. Anything that gets in the way of us pilfering and raping and getting our way, we kill them. And so who is always the underrepresented? Why do people steal? Because they're starving. They're stealing because they don't have this. They're stealing because this toxic culture has confused them to think that, oh, if you don't, and again, if you're unfortunate enough to not be born in a particular demographic, you know, again, we never look at the socioeconomic, the sociocultural situations. We're not talking about, you know, serial killers. Serial killers are a joke. They're the creation of this culture. Humanity survived because it lived embedded in the land. Reciprocity. Was there still, we can't even compare You can't compare what it is to be a wild cheetah on the Serengeti to a cheetah in a cage in a zoo. And that's what we are. We can't compare our primitive psychology. And I say that not as it's simple. It's embedded. It's holistic. It's there. We can't compare the wild psychology with the domesticated, deformed, caged livestock mentality that we live in. So it's livestock telling livestock how to live. And there's no solution here except to bring it, to bring this thing down, to stop industrial civilization. And we see people are pissed off, rightfully so. They're hurting inside. They're struggling. They're stressed out. They can't make ends meet. They're hungry for real food because all they eat is crap. They're cut off from love and connection because that's the way our culture is. Read Zygmunt Bauman, Wasted Lives. Read, I mean, there's a plethora of books that talk about how industrial civilization, how particularly American civilization, cuts us off from any substance. We live in trivial realities where the only reason we talk about a genocide that happened a century ago because Kim Kardashian showed up, because George Clooney said something about it, and because our government refuses to acknowledge it because the Turkish government is a big ally, the second largest military in NATO. We need NATO. To what? To control the people. To control the flow of greed, to control the poverty, to make sure the poverty of people stays and grows. Billions of people are starving to death because of industrial civilization, and we can't even acknowledge a century ago. Why? Because they refuse to. Why would they? Why would power ever do that? To expect this idea of justice in civilization is just a sick, sick joke. Read your history, people. It's written by the victors, and it's no less brutal than written by those who were killed. Read your Howard Zinn, because at least he tries to look at what was done to the people. Read your Foucault, because he tries to do the same thing. Look at what's really being done here in the name of knowledge and power, which they are. What we are doing and collaborating with is wholesale ecocide and genocide. And we wonder why the people rise up. But we're very, very quick to spin a narrative. And we just say, oh, they're just a few bad apples, when they are so enraged of another murder of another man, another African-American man, a black man, a minority man, a disenfranchised human being. Not to mention how we should be rising up every day of how minority women are raped all the time, how Pakistani and Indian women are raped all the time. The people are being raped all the time, and we're not burning buildings for that, and we should be. This entire culture is deformed and monstrous, and we're angry. I'm going to read you a passage before I get to the other one. It's from Against Civilization, Readings and Reflection, edited by John G. Surzan. Everybody should go get this right now. Against Civilization, Readings and Reflections, edited by John Surzan. It's excellent. This is on page 41. If you have the book, break it out, read along with me. I'll only read part of it because it's kind of long, but it speaks to me. It's called Wildflowers. A Bouquet of Theses. There's a thesis. Yes. By John Landau. What I desire is a return to the profundity of experience. I want a society where everyday activity, however mundane, is centered around how incredibly profound everything is. I want that profundity to become so immense that any meditations between us and it become totally unnecessary. We are in the marvel. When I am in that awe, words are so irrelevant. I don't care if you call my experience God or not. All I know is that it is the greatest pleasure possible. To hug a tree, to jump up and down at a beautiful sunset, to climb a magnificent hill, to take awe in what surrounds us. I am not a hedonist. and I will have these pleasures. Neither the religionist or the atheist shall lock them away from me. Primal peoples were in touch with this profoundness and organized their lives around it. Religion is a decadent, secondhand relic from its original authentic mode of experiencing. It attempts to blackmail by linking social control and morality with profound experiences. Primal people sought to avoid whatever distracted from the profundity as much as possible. Observativeness of any sort would distract, obsessiveness of any sort would distract from the holistic goodness of the environment. Why are we here? To experience profoundly. Our task, therefore, is to rearrange life, society, and economy such that profundity is imminent in everyday life. Spirituality represents the specialization and detachment of profundity from everyday life into a disembodied, disconnected, symbolic realm that becomes compensatory for everyday life, whose imminence is banality. It's obvious we don't regularly experience wonder. This is the social material problem, because the structure of everyday life discourages this. Other societies in history, however, have endeavored to discover what is truly of value in life, and then, only then, to structure everyday life upon those evident values. Let me skip over a few bits. Western spirituality has perpetuated a separation between the material and the spiritual realms, probably because it arose out of civilization ruled by an out-of-control materialism. The world used to be experienced profoundly, spiritual terms. The earth used to be inhabited by spirit. Western spirituality abstracted spirit from the world, from the flesh, leaving an enlivened, disembodied spirit and a deadened, barren world. It is our job to refuse what has been artificially separated, not through the symbolic gesture, but by existentially redressing the alienations to which we have been subjected. And
I mean, I could go on, man, because it's awesome. I like where it says, our job is to invent primal peoples. Through our imagination and what little we do know, there's no evidence against such group movement. We must imagine primeval peoples in order to create an incredible myth, in order to live and become it. Yeah, that's what we're talking. That's the whole, I think, rewilding idea, the anarcho-primitivism. We need to reinvent that. We need to re-indigenize. We need to decolonize. God, I love all these writers. That's awesome. But that doesn't answer my question, the question I posed at the beginning. Let us look at this blog. I highly recommend that. I need to put it on there because I think it's wonderful. It's titled Post-Insurrectionary Revengeism, Thoughts Regarding Political Philosophy in the Age of Human Extinction. Wonderful. So this one popped up on my radar, and it just blew me away. So I'm going to read it to you, and I think it answers the question. And then I'll talk about what I think. So what is the appropriate response to human extinction? The appropriate spiritual response. Let me read to you the short blog from our friend. There is little that disgusts me more than those who would retreat into narcissistic spirituality when confronted with the news of human extinction. As if the endless self-reflection and quasi-therapeutic trappings of this new spiritual movement will do anything to alleviate the despair, the anger of the 7.5 billion people who face a certain annihilation. As if the young people of this world have seen
having seen our future dashed upon the rocks of this civilization's hubris, want to hear about accepting despair and working through anger. We have the right anger. We need this despair. The goal of this spiritual movement is to prepare its adherents to die peacefully. If humans are to go extinct, they say, then what is left but to turn inward? This will never work and probably cause more harm to its adherents. I find this movement despicable in its retreat from any notion of actually doing anything. In a very real and terrifying sense, it is the graveyard of environmentalism. I am very sorry, but many young people will not accept that. And even if they know all hope is lost, they still want to fight. They will want to fight for spiritual redemption, for emotional healing, and to exact the kind of justice on the class of people who have condemned them to death. To answer our question, the appropriate spiritual response to human extinction is not self-reflection, but outward rage and playful destruction. This rage, acted out on the edifice of civilization, will not save our species, but it can save our spirituality now. End quote. Wow. Well said, sir. Well said. So he, what is playful destruction? Insurrection. They're like, oh my God, people are, yeah, it's awful. It's awful. Awful that people are driven to this kind of madness. When to say that somehow industrial civilization and consumerism and this corporatocracy are sane, when we're deforesting Indonesia for palm oil, when, you know, we're killing ourselves to make it through the day, we're hopped up on prescription. I mean, it's just, this, you know, you're like, oh, ISIS is a threat. No, civilization is the threat. ISIS is just a freaking one of the offshoot cancers of a death cult. Oh, another death cult? You mean a death cult spawned from the ultimate death cult of civilization? Oh gosh. Oh my gosh. Is that not true? That's, yes it is. It's one of Derek Jensen's premises. Let me look. Which one is it? I should know these by heart now, so forgive me. I'm sorry, Derek, you know, I'm only human in my brain, you know. Which one is it? Come on. I think it's I lost it. Forgive me. Yes, here it is. Premise 10. So break out your Endgame, Volume 1 or 2, because they have both. The culture as a whole, and most of its members, are insane. It is a culture driven by a death urge, an urge to destroy life. So are we playing into that? Sure. We have to stop the destruction of the living world. It might be too late, but to sit by and watch. And this, I think, is what John Trudell, the Native American poet, is, we have to protect our spirit. We have to protect it from being, perhaps it's already devoured, definitely deformed, terribly deformed. We have to stop it. We have to act. And it's not easy. No. Yes. Hey, there's somebody on there. And they said, exactly. Who said that? Edmund Burke. Evil prevails, or evil flourishes, when good men do nothing. That's sexist. When good people do nothing. We have to stand fast. We have to do something. And what seems to be chaos might be an insurrection. Is it organized? I don't know. I hope so. Can I join? I will be. Am I advocating violence? I'm advocating resistance. I know the law, and the law knows me. So we must resist any way we can. We do it any way we can. I know people are scared, as they should be. They can resist. They can speak out. You know, just not buying stuff? Sorry, they own us. Just, oh, I'm not going to go to movies anymore. Yeah, okay, great. That's, hey, we need everything. Read
I'm going to be talking about this book. It's called The Elements of Resistance. Jeremiah, I think Bowden is his name. I'm going to talk about another book I'm reading, Underminers by Keith Farnish. Read some stuff, and I'll talk about that in the weeks to come. And they really explore how we can resist and all the things we can do. Time's up. Time's up. We have to act. And see, watch Vice. If you've ever watched the show Vice, sadly, you can only, it's on YouTube a lot. They just put it on YouTube. And they talk about the militarization of our police force. And they even talk about how what we're seeing is attacks on authority. Police, the death squad, as I call them. And they even characterize it. I was so shocked and so happy that Vice had the balls to call it an insurrection, an insurgency. So you're seeing people acting against authority in an almost counterinsurgency against what civilization is doing, how insidious it is. We are domesticated at every level, every level. And I know, and I talk to people who are deeply embedded and they're psychologically damaged to the point where they can't even see for a second what I'm saying. And I'm fucking with their head and I feel bad, but they're human beings and they need to know what's happening. We need to recognize reality. As John Trudell says, recognize the reality that we're in. And they're like, well, that's just your reality. I'm like, well, thank you, psychologist, that, okay, we're all in these vacuums of individual realities, maybe, but the fact is that industrial civilization is killing the planet, and that's just not made up in my head or your head. You know, the fact that what's happening is not just a narrative that the media can spin and make us go, oh, yeah, let's watch the next Game of Thrones. And then when I question them, they're like, oh, you're saying I shouldn't watch Game of Thrones? And I'm like, no, great show. How distracted are you from reality? That's a question you can ask yourself. And the time for, hey, let's go reflect on things and just enjoy the ride to oblivion while we kill another 200 species. And we're like worrying about our own extinction. How about the living world? How about we stop living in this horrific anthropocentrism we're already cut off, but it's like, oh, we just cut down another acre of forest so they can, you know, plant palm oil or whatever it is, more, you know, totalitarian agriculture. We know what's happening. And time we burn it to the ground. Burn it to the ground. But, you know, I'm an above ground resistor, so I can never, and I have no plans, nor will I ever. You know, you all got to do what we got to do, but we have to act. And just sitting by watching. Yes, we can bear witness, and that's important, but we have to act. Resist. Read a book. They're like, oh, I don't like reading. Watch a documentary. Think harder. Think longer. Time to burn it down. You're right, Dent Shepherd. Thank you for the compliment. He said, it's great to hear a voice of intellectual fortitude. I appreciate that. Let's break it down and let's get back to it. If we can, let's try to live with as our ancestors did. Read Forbidden Dimensions because we're there with them. We're just cut off. Let's see the fences and go against them. I'm going to talk to you all next week. Let's talk about these books. And I'll see you then. Resist any way you can. Insurrection. It could be a way to go. It is the way to go.